So there's a piece from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, late Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yerushalayim, who went through Shanghai. He quotes a pasuk, I think in Parshas. Oh, just a few things about preparation. Okay, in the Pele Yoetz, which is a like an encyclopedia of topics, different topics from Aleph through Tav. To give, I think Rabbi Geir gives a shiur in it once a week. Just give a little plug for that. He has a whole piece just on Hachan, on preparation. So he starts off talking about preparation for Shabbos. He talks about how even the great Tanaim and Amoraim, who'd be learning all day, they would stop Erev Shabbos and do something to prepare for Shabbos, whether it was salting this fish, sweeping up, doing something. And there are numerous stories of people going to Gedolim, fetching that their wife can't get ready for Shabbos, and it's driving them crazy. So they all always have the same answer. Get a broom. Do something yourself. Help out. It's not only your wife's mitzvah to prepare, everyone prepares. And in fact, the men's real, the thing that the men were given was to make sure that the neros are ready, so when the mother is ready to bench lech Friday night, it's already ready. So that part of the mitzvah is taken by the men, while the actual lighting was taken by the women. So, preparation, as we all know, is very, very important. That if you don't prepare, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's the line. So in everything that you do, preparation plays a very important part of it. Whether it's a test, schoolwork, preparing as a teacher, most people I know can't get away winging it. Most people. On a consistent basis. And I just want to read something from the Pele Yoetz, which is very, very nice. But not, he says, not just for Shabbos, but everything that you do. You sit down for a meal, you sit down to go to sleep, to rest. So you'd say this tonight, even at the shir. I'm not insulted. Let me just find this thing. Preparation, that's why you have to be here on time. This part I really want to read because it's beautiful. Haredi bo lecho v'lishtos, if you're coming to sit down and eat and drink, kadeshi a gufi bari v'chozek la'avodas Hashem yisparach. So I should be healthy, I should have a healthy body to serve Hashem. That's what you say before you start eating. V'koldim hashena, and before you go to sleep, yomash say, Hareni shokhev v'lishtos, I'm going to bed, kadeshi te daiti tzalulu v'yusheves olay la'avodas Hashem yisparach. I should have a clear mind tomorrow to do Hashem's service. We call them say so, Mamasu Matan, and before you go out to work, Yomar say, Hareni Holech Lisa Velitain, I'm going out to do business, Ulishtada, I'm putting the effort Lavir to make Parnasa, Pisyata Dishmaya, with God's help, to the Farnes Espine Basi, to support my family, Kamosha Tivani Bori, just like God commanded me, Hadesh Ucha Laso Tzedaka, also so I'll be able to give Tzedaka. And do chesed, call mitzvahs kisikuna, and all mitzvahs properly. Because you need money to buy lulav and esrog, you need money to buy matzos. If you want a good lulav and esrog and good matzos, you have to pay up some money. So I'm going to work to get money. Okay, kishabona bias, when you're building a house, or kishosa malbush uchaduma, or you're making clothing, or you're buying clothing. The same thought was with everything that you do. That I'm doing shem shemayim. That's how you prepare for doing anything, by saying I'm doing this l'shem shemayim. Because then what you're doing is now you're elevating a very physical action of sleeping and eating, and elevating it to avodas Hashem. which is the whole reason why we have the physical things. It's not just to enjoy, which to, that's part of it. You know, we have to. God gave us the world to enjoy, but we don't. It's not just for enjoyment. It's to serve Hashem. So we have to elevate it. We have to elevate ourselves, and therefore, by doing that, we're elevating the action to make that into serving Hashem. And he says, you should say this prepare. You should say this with your mouth. He says, even washing your face in the morning, taking a shower. He says, you got to prepare yourself with your kuf to get ready to daven. Part of the work is to wash your face, your hands and face, before you go to daven. And also, if you're showering, you should say, I'm doing that also to have a clean body, because a clean body is a healthy body, and you should, that also helps you in Avodas Hashem. He says there's a hakana in your mind. You got to get yourself ready mentally. Now, in sports, mental preparation is a big deal. I don't know if you've ever seen football players and they get ready before they get ready for, before they play a game. You know, they're in the locker rooms, they're doing something mentally to get prepared for the game. And then as they're going out, you see them they're beating each other up, you know, banging heads with each other. That's also part of the mental part, whatever's left after that. So, we have to be mentally ready for a mitzvah also. It's not just walk into something and say, and do it. Thank you. So, before you go into shul in the morning, I think there is a halacha that you should pause a second at the door, clear your mind, understand what you're doing. You know, as you walk and you realize, Matovo Olacha Yaakov, it's a privilege to be in God's tent. It's a privilege to be in the Reis Medrash and a shul, that I have the ability to communicate one-on-one with the Rabbanu Shalom. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we shouldn't underestimate it. And the way you don't underestimate it is by thinking about it before you do it, or any other mitzvah you do. That's why you have all the Yirat songs before you do certain mitzvahs. It gets you in the mood. If you understand what the Yirat song is, and gives you a little insight into what the mitzvah is, and the ramifications of what the mitzvah is, then you do the mitzvah differently. But it takes thought. That's why Yeshaya said, the Navi, that don't get caught up in this rote action of just doing mitzvahs as a robotic action. You got to put thought into it. That's part of preparation. So, if being that as it is, as we get closer to a yontif, you need certain preparation. Why? What preparation do? Not besides the physical, like for Pesach, you have to do all the bedikas kumis and all that. But otherwise, to sit down at a seder, say, what do I need to prepare? I have a haggadah. I'll read the English on the bottom and say, and sure vetlach. It's more than that. I think Rav Dessler gives an example. He has this yisod. I think we all know this saying. It's in the air. There are certain things that you can feel. It's in the air. You can feel the love. You can feel the tension. It's so tense you can cut it with a knife. And so it's something, there are feelings and emotions that can saturate the air of where you are. Every yontif has something in the air that's unique about that yontif. Rosh Hashanah has that uniqueness that you can feel in the air that you want to be mekabel alav, you want to be a loyal servant to the Rabbanu Shalom. Yom Kippur, what's in the air is the feeling of, I can change, Hashem will give me another chance and forgive me. Sukkot, what's in the air is the feeling of Hashem's love for us as He surrounds us with the walls of the sukkah and protects us from all the elements. Chanukah, what's in the air is the greatness of the light, the Neros, which means, I think, the eternal light of Yiddishkeit. Purim is about the miracles that can happen behind the scene, the Neis Nistarim, or Nisim Nistarim. Then we get to Pesach. Pesach is the feeling of also, I'm able to make real changes in my life, freedom to break bad habits. I can do all those types of things, because it's in the air and it's helping you. Now we come to Shruas. What's in the air for Shruas? Mekabel, to be Mekabel Torah. Not to be Mekabel Torah in the year 2015, but to be Mekabel Torah the way the Jews were Mekabel the Torah in the year 2449 from creation. Okay? It's in the air, but you got to tap into it. How do you tap into it? By preparing yourself. If you prepare yourself emotionally and spiritually, you can probably tap into some of that air that was in the world 3,300 and some odd years ago and feel today even in Silver Spring, Maryland. So how do you do that? That's the question. How do you prepare? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz quotes an Or Chaim. And he says, from this pasuk, you see that the three ways to prepare for Kabbalah's Hatar, for Shruas. So he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. Sorry. I prepare. So. Here it is. Pasuk is Vayisu Mirfidim. They travel from the place called Rafidim. Vayachanu b'midbar, and he camped in the desert. Vayichan Shem Yisrael neged ahar, and he camped. The Jews camped next to the mountain. So the Or Chaim says that there are three things that you learn from this pasuk. The first thing is Vayisu Mirfidim. They travel from Rafidim. Because what happened? Right happened. What happened at Rephidim? They had the war with Amalek. First major war with Amalek. Amalek came from hundreds of miles away to pick a fight with the Jewish people. Now, usually the Jews have a protective shield around them to protect them from their enemies. So how is Amalek able to start up with the Jewish people if they're supposed to be protected? So Chazal say, because Sharafu Yedeim Minator, they, Rafu is they loosened their hands from Torah. Now, when I was teaching this a few years ago to a fifth grade class, so the obvious question was asked, there is no Torah. They didn't get it yet. So how can you loosen yourself from Torah if there's no Torah? So good question. So I asked the class, they don't have an answer. So one kid gave a Gevaldika answer. And I used the example to make it a little stronger. Imagine if your parents wake you up early in the morning, out of bed, say, get in the car. Why? We're taking a vacation. Where? Going to Disney World. And the kid never heard of Disney World. What's Disney World? What's meant to Disney World? Trust us, you're gonna have a great time. How long is it gonna take to get there? From here, maybe 9-10 hours, depending where you live. It goes 9-10 hours, don't worry, it's gonna be worth it. So what do you think the kids are gonna be doing in the back of the car during that trip when they're not asking if they're there yet? They're probably gonna be wondering and thinking and daydreaming, just using their imagination. What is this Disney World that our parents slept us out of bed at such an early time, willing to drive pretty much a whole day to get to this place, which is just the happiest place on earth, supposedly? So that's the pshat. If the kid is not daydreaming about Disney World or Disneyland, then you would say there's something wrong with the kid. Your parents just promised you're going to have the day of your life, and you're not imagining what it was. I remember one time, like 2 weeks before school started, Lisa was already had to go to work, so I had to do something with the whole family. So I said, okay, guys, just get in the car. Where are we going? Surprise. Remember that? Okay. So it was nice as we're driving all the way up 2970 6:95, and hear them say, we're doing this, we're doing that. They're all going, the whole trip was, what are we going to do? And then finally, I got into 83, they were stumped. Because we went to York and all those places for all the food tours. So, but it was nice to hear them wondering out loud, trying to figure it out. That's the idea. If Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, guys, we're traveling to a place where we're going to get the Torah. This is Torah. You're going to love it. It tastes like honey. It's great. It's going to make you the happiest people on earth. The happiest place on earth. Har Sinai. So you would think every time that they're taking a step, they're wondering, what is this Torah thing? Why is it going to make us the happiest people on earth? What is the purpose of having a Torah? So the fact that they didn't daydream or think about it or imagine or try to figure out what Torah was showed that they had a lack of interest in it. It didn't really spark their imagination. So that's what this kid said in class. Because they didn't have that spark to wonder what Torah was, I mean, they didn't have that enthusiasm to look forward to it, that took away their protective shield, and that allowed Amalek to come and fight them. Now, on a practical level, we have the Torah. We do learn, all in our own way. So, to Rafi Yudayim in our Torah today would mean learn more. Now, I don't know if anyone here is sitting in a base medrash 10 hours a day. I don't know if someone is. So how would I make the practical? I'll go back to what I said before. It has to be in your mind. It's how much are you connected to the Torah? How much are you living a Torah life? Is what you're doing in consonance, that's the word, with the Torah values? I just came back from the Torah Masorah Convention, and there were a few speakers talking about, I won't go as stark as some of the speakers were, because they were very stark. He says, we're living in a world of kefirah. Everywhere you look, any advertisement, whether it's in a magazine, he said even the Jewish magazines, is kefirah, because it's telling you certain things that go against Torah values. He says, the only thing that's going to make you unhappy in life is being an Eved Hashem. Not going away on vacations, not going away to hotels, not getting the latest thing or the newest thing. That's all kefirah. So he says, what you have to do is, you have to combat it. He said, don't have a gun in the house. But if you do, teach your gun how to use that and gun safety. He says, we can't escape this world, so we have to learn how to combat it. So we have to understand what the values of the outside world is, understand what the values of our world are, and see what can we do to make sure that our values are more important to us than the outside, the Western civilization values. So, so I think one of the things we have to do is keep thinking, when I'm doing something, is that our value or is it their value? And then you have to make a decision. If you think it's okay, do it. If you don't think it's okay, then you have to come up with a way to fight yourself, especially if you're all worked up, you're looking forward to something. Okay. Say, how can I get away from it? I think that's what we have to do in the next following days to prepare, is to examine our actions and our thoughts to say, is this within the Torah value system that I was taught? Is this the value system that I would like to imbue into my children? So that's Aleph. Connecting yourself to Torah. Beis, he says. Tikkun midos, he says. You got to fix your midos. V'yichud midos ha-gaiva. He says specifically arrogance, haughtiness. And he quotes the Chazal that says, Kivin she'osa adam es atzmo kemidbar. As soon as a person makes himself like a desert, that's open to everyone. Torah nitnes lo, then God's going to give you a present. That's called Torah. That means understanding and becoming absorbed in the words of Torah. But it starts with midos. I don't think I have to go very far. Like, even though, you know, as one of the Rosh Hashivas said, so if you just listen to the radio, which you probably say you shouldn't listen to the radio, or read the paper, you realize all these heroes, quote-unquote heroes, that are out there in the sports world. And in the other world, you see what happens to them? This one is doing this, and this one's getting in jail, putting in jail for this one. Why? Because it all stems from bad midos. Politicians who are doing something wrong, and they get caught, stems from midos. Everything that goes wrong or right in our lives, I think it starts with a bad mido or a good mido. So we have to get to the foundation of ourselves totally, which is our midos. You have to recognize within yourself what's a good mido, what's a bad mido, what's... The Bali Musar explained in this generation, the way to fix yourself is not to start with what's wrong with yourself. The way to start is what's good about myself. Now, that's not gaiva. That's called having pride in yourself and recognizing who you are and what you are. Everyone is good. I give this example in class every year when I'm trying to bring the spoiler. Imagine the Rebbe comes in and gives everyone a piece of paper, says, I want put your name on top and write down what it is good about yourself. And the kids are sitting there at the table, scratching their head. Rebbe, do I have to do this assignment? Yes. Do I have to fill up the whole page? If you can. Can I skip lines? No, you can't skip lines. And the kid's just racking his brains, what's good about myself? Because he's thinking, if I say something good about myself, I'm arrogant. That's wrong. But then the Rebbe says, okay, here's a piece of paper. Write down what's wrong about yourself. And the kid takes his pencil and starts writing down right away. Rebbe, can I use the second side of the page? If I run out of both sides, can I have another piece of paper? Is there a time limit? Can I do this forever? Because when it comes to, I think we all know, it's easier to find negative things in ourselves than to find the positive things in ourselves. So we have to recognize that tikkun hamidos is to recognize that, A, I am good in some way. Now, gaiva means like going around and say, hey, do you know I'm good? I'll tell you why I'm good. Yeah, let me tell you. And say, no, thank you. But I'll tell you anyway. That's gaiva. Being proud of yourself and giving yourself a pat on the back, that's called being normal. You got to walk around with pride in yourself and say, I am good. I heard this from someone, I forgot who it was. I think it was Noach Orlor. God doesn't make junk. If God created you with you and the way you look, how tall you are, with your nisyonos, with your personalities, with your flaws, that's how God wanted you. And that's not junk. It's good. Everyone has their own nisyon in life, things that they have to fix up, tweak, or totally change. But that's part of your nisyon. That's how God made you. And if you remember that God, if I'm made by God, God doesn't make junk. So therefore, you have to start off, and I'm good. I'm not junk. I'm not perfect, but at least I'm good. Not at least. I am. So you have to start with the good. So during the next few days, in between cheesecakes, that you can think, okay, what's good about me? What do I do well? What mida do I do well? What trait do I excel at? How can I make it better? How can I perfect it? What can I do to take it to the next level in a good, healthy way, not in an OCD way? Okay? You have to be normal. Okay? You have to, everything has to be done. It's called, what's a mida mean? Mida means measure. You have to measure out your actions. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, even if I think it's good, is it really bad? Or even sometimes if it's bad, it can end up being good. I think the Mesilas Yesharim writes later on in the Sefer, I think with Chassidus, Midas Chassidus, piety, means that you have to be able to realize what's going to be the outcome of your actions in the future. He gives an example of, it's possible that you think what you're doing now is very good, but if something negative comes out of it later, then it was really a bad thing that you did. And just the opposite, if you think what you're doing now is bad, but somehow it turns into a good thing, then it was a good thing that you did. You have to have that shikul hadas, concentration, got to weigh yourself, and in some way be a navi. So you have to roa as a noah, you have to be a chacham. You have to see the future, try to play out the situation of what you're doing now to see where is it going to lead to. That's tikkun hamidos. And whatever you think is negative about you, you got to think of a way, how can I fix it? Right? You don't have to start fixing it right away. What you have to do is come up with a plan of that I'm going to fix it, that I will be able to fix it, and come up with some sort of a plan. I think there are a lot of books out there that give you plans. One, say, for Cheshbon HaNefesh, which you can get. It's published by Feldheim. It's really a Hebrew sefer, but it's published by Feldheim in English. It's in a pocket-sized edition. And in the back, it gives you charts, so you can chart your progress, or lack thereof, hopefully not. So it gives you a way to chart yourself, and it gives you a whole chart how to do it and all that. It's a very good sefer. Recommend it. Okay, third thing. So once again, review. A is make Torah part of my thought process. Two, perfect the foundation of your life, your midos, your traits. And understand that if you mess up, that doesn't mean you go back to the beginnings. All it means that you fell down. What you do is if you fall down, what do? Get up. Don't worry about it. Just pretend you're a little kid learning how to walk. Get up. That's what they all do. Only later in life do you fall down, do you get depressed and stay down. And understand, as Rav Putner writes in a famous letter, that it's not that a tzaddik falls seven times and still gets up. It's, why is he a tzaddik? Because he fell seven times and got up. The falling and the getting up is part of the process of becoming a tzaddik. It's not despite falling, it's because you fell. And you decide to pick yourself up, wipe yourself off, and keep on going. Because then tzidkus, righteousness, will be there at the end of the road. So that's base. Third thing is, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. You know the famous Rashi? Because right two few words before that, it said the Jews, Vayachanu, they can't, plural. So then it says Vayichan, which is Yachid, singular. How can that be? If there were just a big group two words ago, how can there be one person now? There were 600,000 people there, more, 3 million. So why is it singular? The Rashi says that they all be, there was this type of achdus of, what's the word, echabalev? Kishachabalev achad. Like one man with one heart. They were one living, breathing entity. Not 3 million people making a group. It was a one group. That was it. That's achdus, togetherness, unity. To show you how unified they were. There's a question of Nasa v'Nishma. So you all know the question is, how can you say Nasa before there's a Nishma? How can you say I'll do it if you don't know what you're doing? My question is, how can they say Nasa in the first place? We will do? Yanko Shmerl sitting in the back is saying, Nasa, we will do it. So he's speaking for Yanko Finkel or Yanko whoever. Yanko Shmerl in the front. How does he know what Yanko Shmerl is thinking? And how does everyone know what everyone else is thinking? So every person, when they said Nasa v'Nishma, they were really talking for all of Klal Yisrael. How can they say that? How can they have the chutzpah to speak for other people? The answer is, Kesher Chabalev Achad. Because they were so in sync with each other that they knew what the other person was thinking. They knew so well, because of the Achdus, that I know what the guy in the front is thinking, that he's ready to commit, just like I'm ready to commit. So Nasa v'Nishma. And every single Jew felt that same achdus, that they were so in tune with everyone else's neshama and thought process that they knew everyone was willing to take the leap and say Nasa v'Nishma. That's the type of achdus that we're trying to go for. Now achdus takes its picture in many ways. Achdus could be on the lowest level family, an extended family, goes to communities, cities, countries, different groups. We always try achdus, achdus, achdus. So, and we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, ve'yasu kulam aguda achas. One of the things that we're davening for when Mashiach comes, that all Christ will be one band, one group. That means we'll all be davening together. We won't have any breakaways. Like at the Torah Masorah convention, you couldn't go 5 feet without a breakaway minion. That's why I was very, not to pat myself on the back, I am, but that after Shal Shudas, so Maariv, so already you're walking out from Shal Shudas, and you said, it's already 10 o'clock. They don't hold 72, they hold 90-something, whatever, until all the speakers finished and benched. And by the time you can get to where the shul was, you have to walk through 5 minyanim and 5 havdolas. I want to daven with everyone else because I think that's the whole point. The idea is to show the achdus that we're all together in this. So that's important of achdus. And yes, even if a person has a different minhag than me, it's okay to be together. It's okay to talk to them. It's okay to be friendly with them. Unfortunately, we see that's usually through tzaras that Klal Yisrael shows that achdus. I think the trick is through the simcha, when things are going good for Klal Yisrael, to have that same type of achdus, that everyone's willing to embrace himself and daven together and pray together at the same minyan without any problems, and yet his minyan is different. He says tachnun now, he doesn't say tachnun, therefore we can't daven. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be all about achdus, togetherness. Sometimes to overlook the faults of others, and sometimes you have to overlook the faults of yourself, to be one with yourself also. That's also achdus. You have to have this unity with yourself and feel good about yourself, and not say, oh, I'm a schizophrenic. There are days I'm good, there are days I'm bad. No, you got to be achdus with yourself also. You have to be consistent throughout. The real goal is consistency in our lives. From the moment you wake up to the moment we go to sleep, through all the days of our lives, excuse the pun, or the reference, always tell the class, do I have to explain that one?
You had a very young guy. I got it.
Okay. Okay. Gotta show some that I date myself every week. I was in the general hospital more. So, okay, got another one. Here's 3, 4, 4, 4. Come on, don't be ashamed. Okay. There's no video, it's only audio. Okay, so halacha has a shortage of what 3 letters? Hey, lamed chaf, which means to go or walk. Halacha has to go with you wherever you go. Whether you're in school, in the mall, at home, shopping, hanging out, summer, winter, fall, spring. 4 seasons. So you have to be consistent. Halacha is going to follow you wherever you go. So once that goes back to the same thing of trying to be in line, in concert with halacha and Torah. That is, that's really the trick. And if you can master that, that you can figure out as you go in life, say, is this the right thing to do or is this not the right thing to do? And decide, then you're on the right track. Because many times, I'm sure you say, it's not the right thing. Then you have to make that decision, find the strength to say, I'm not going to do it. Rabbi Weiss says a story. When he was the head of the OU, Kashrus Division, after he moved up from Florida, he said he used to be sitting in the office with the one who preceded him, Rabbi Rosenberg, and people would come in with these shady offers to make some money off the OU, and saying the OU will make some money also. So Rabbi Rosenberg would sit at his desk, and the guy would give his spiel and talk for 10, 15 minutes, explaining why it's a win-win for him and for the OU, and explaining how legal it is if you do it this way and that way, we can get around that loophole and this and all that. And after he was finished, Rabbi Rosenberg would be sitting like this and just say, "Was zok God? What does God say about that?" That was the end of the conversation. If you have to answer that question, "Was zok God?" with everything that you're doing, then you have a problem. That means you're always looking for a loophole. You're always looking for a b'dieved to get away with something because I'm just too lazy or I'm trying to do something which I don't want to do. Something like that. So that's the idea. We try to be consistent. We want to be consistent. We want to act this in ourselves, the way we follow halacha, the way our midos are, and the way we get along with the Octopus and the family, community, city, everywhere. We want to be consistent with that also. So, Mirz Hashem, if we take these, that line, this is from the Archaim, explained by the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and take these three things as some sort of a hakana preparation, so Mirz Hashem, when it comes to Shavuos, we'll be able to feel what's in the air. That was in the air 3,300 some odd years ago at the original Kabbalah Sator Har Sinai that was received by the Dor Dea. And Mirz Hashem, we could take some of that, those sparks that still emanate today, and make our Shavuos not just a physical delight, but also a spiritual delight, and a that even though Sfirah ends with Shavuos, we should keep our own ladder of personal growth growing and growing and growing, because then that will lead into a meaningful Tisha B'Av, which will then lead into a meaningful El and Yom Nerav. Thank you for coming. Have a great Shavuos. And I'm assuming next week. What?
It's Shavuos next week.
Oh, okay.
So just, I'd love to figure out where we are going to have this year. Do people have any preference? Does it matter to anybody? Whether it's here at Hayes House?
I prefer us here. Yeah, we too. I can say it. I can't.